This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. The diary continues. December brings more snow for Christmas. We have a small tree to decorate. There was a snowstorm a few days ago, and a tree fell near the school. William and John sawed off the top so it would fit in the dining hall. Everyone made decorations out of leftover scraps, paper, and fabric. Everyone's looking forward to Christmas. Besides snow, bombs are falling. And not just in London, but other cities too. I hope the countryside isn't hit. Still, no word from Leah. Susan said she asked her mother, but that was last year. So I go to Mrs. Davis instead. I will try to phone Susan's mother, but don't get your hopes up. I don't know if records were kept on where your children were placed, she says. So, impatiently, I wait. A few days before Christmas, we're awakened by this long, loud siren. We know what it means. We line up and go quickly, single file, down the steep stairs to the cellar. We've practiced so we don't bump into each other, but this is the real thing. I hear Mother Matthews and her girls in front. It's smelly and crowded, but at least it's safe. Mrs. Davis counts everyone's head to make sure we're all here. The siren continues for a long time, starting out soft, then louder. Finally, it stops. Waiting in the dark, we listen for the all-clear signal. We're silent, and all I hear is breathing. I wonder where William and John are. This floor is cold, Amy whispers. Shh, Mother whispers back. Listen. We sit for what seems like hours. Finally, we hear it. A single long sound. The all clear. Laughing and crying with relief, we slowly go back up the dark, steep stairs into the dining hall. When we're upstairs, I hear John talking to Mrs. Davis. William must be nearby. Miss Price exclaims, "What a relief! I was afraid we'd be hit." Mother Matthews tells the older girls to get settled. That goes for you. Lot over here, Mother calls to us. Obviously, we can't sleep. The teachers have to remind us to get some rest because even though they will start later than usual tomorrow, we will still have class. And the teachers don't want us to be tired for our lessons. Well, it's Christmas Day. Catherine is very happy because she says Father Christmas came. I guess she was worried he wouldn't come. The presents are more practical this year. Clothes, but there are small toys too. Mother is trying to be cheerful for us. Mary shows me handmade doll clothes her mom made from scraps. Amy has two new pairs of gloves. Kathleen opens a scarf that's red. Like your coat, Mother points out. We all have new socks from Mother. We give her a knitted blanket. Thank you, girls. Now let's go to breakfast. At breakfast, we hear some of the older girls talking about fancy dresses and how they'd love to have boys see them in their new dresses, even though there aren't any boys around. Why can't we see boys? One complains. My sisters do. They go to dances all the time. Mother Matthews says something about boys being at a different school. When he collects my plate, William whispers, "Have a wonderful day." What did he want? Catherine asks. He told me to have a wonderful day. We also read the Christmas story from the Bible like last year. This year, some of the girls read also. After breakfast, we split up. Amy and I practice piano. We practice Braille music, and she teaches me the words to Joy to the World. Mrs. Walters looks in. Having fun? Very nice, by the way. It's a little fast, I answer. Christmas dinner is shepherd's pie, which is a pastry filled with vegetables and mashed potatoes covered in gravy. The others have meat in theirs. Most of us think it's delicious, but Anna complains. It's not as nice as last year's meal. Mrs. Davis taps her water glass and stands. The chatter stops. She lectures about our good fortune. We're in the countryside, so we can grow our own vegetables, raise our own meat, and keep chickens for eggs to sell. Cities are being bombed nightly, people not knowing if their homes will be standing when it's over. She tells us we should be grateful for these things and our safety. She sits. We finish our meal in silence. Well, most of us. At the next table, I hear the girls saying, "That's not fair. Why is she lecturing us? I just want pretty clothes and to be like other girls." We listen to the King's Christmas broadcast just like last year. Now I can better understand everything. I feel kind of unhappy hearing him talk about the evacuated children and how hard it is being separated from our parents. He knows what it's like, I thought. We all suffer together. We must be united. The day after Christmas, I received the best Christmas present ever. Mrs. Davis calls me to her classroom after dinner. She tells me she spoke to Susan's mother and found the address of Leah's family. I want to jump for joy, but Mrs. Davis is still talking. You can't see her, only write. You write in Braille, and someone can write underneath it in print. Can I phone her? I ask? Mrs. Davis says we'll have to see. When I ask why it took Susan's mother so long to find Leah, she replies, with her husband away and other children to care for, she was busy. Oh, please keep your letter to 3 pages or less, she adds. I run back to the dormitory, not really using my cane, but I don't bump into anyone. I grab my slate and begin writing. A Group of White Flowers, 1941. Sunday, January the 5th, evening. I can't believe it. I received a letter from Esther. When Mum gave it to me, she remarked, well, your sister can write after all. The return address listed is a school. I tear the letter open and notice the paper is thick and covered with little dots with writing under them. Along the right and left side are little holes. I cry as I read my sister's letter. I read about how she was taken to a school for blind children. She has learned to write in Braille, the dots, and uses something called a cane, which helps her get around by herself. Most importantly, she plays the piano again. I wish I could be there to meet her friends, share memories of home, and play piano too. Everything seems perfect, except for Hannah and some of the older girls. It ends with, "Remember this song." My Rock of Salvation. A friend helped me with the words. Your favorite sister, Esther. Laughing with joy, I put her letter in my suitcase. Sighing, I think, I suppose I'll have to write in English now. January 6. Dear Esther, I cannot describe how I felt reading your first letter. Happy, excited. We can write to each other. Well, here's mine. I describe my family, school, church, and the friends I've made. I know how you feel about the Torah, but we all have to learn the English Bible now. They're more patient at your school, though, and they have kosher meals. At least Mrs. Porter and Mrs. Davis are trying to make you feel welcome. That was an unusual conversation between Miss Price and Mrs. Blake. No wonder she's angry all the time. Be patient with her. Anyway, Christmas was strange this year because there weren't any treats, just clothes. Mom and Dad agreed that because of the Blitz, we should give our Christmas money to a charity. Jane and Sarah grumbled, but we all gave to our local hospital. I'm not sure what you know about the fighting going on, so here's some news. It's not cheerful. The first week of January, the English had already bombed airfields in Tobruk, North Africa. They didn't want the Italians to head there. Speaking of war, a boy told how his dad was in one of the planes that bombed that airfield. He was involved in capturing the city. I wonder how much of his dad's words he was putting in his assignment. It's the 24th, and the English, Italians, and Australians had a battle there. All areas were captured by the British. On to some happy news. We've been doing a lot of ice skating on our local pond. Laron taught most of us. On our first day, we all came home with drenched clothes. Jane was scolded for ruining her new coat. "I told you to save it for special occasions," Mum shouted. Sarah and I ran to her room, trying not to burst out laughing. "Jane punished?" Andrew wasn't there, so Eva enjoyed herself without worrying about being teased. Here's another war story. Bridget told how her sister was aboard a hospital ship bound for Tobruk. There was an explosion, and bombs were dropped nearby. Everyone had practiced drills, but this was real. There was danger to the ship, but no one was hurt or killed. Bridget explained, relieved. When the nurses receive patients, they have to board them sometimes while fighting's happening. They're courageous out there on the sea. In one letter, she wrote about shells exploding in the water. Some of us German kids celebrated Hanukkah this year. Daniel's parents said we could celebrate at their house. Obviously, I didn't tell Mum why I wanted to spend a week after school there, but she allowed it. Laron's rabbi lent us his menorah, and Eva's mom gave us candles. Daniel's dad learned Hebrew. It was funny hearing an Englishman reading it. Everything was beautiful, the flickering candlelight and hearing the familiar prayers. The last night, Daniel's mother walked me home. "Come in and start your chores," Mom ordered when I knocked. Daniel's mom looked curiously at us, but said nothing. Daniel asked, "Can Leah come back next weekend, please?" "Maybe, dear." Mom's smile was forced. "Now get inside." Hand on my shoulder, she pushed me in, quickly closing the door. It's been a busy first week in February. First, on the 4th, Italians began evacuating Benghazi, Libya. On the 6th, Australians captured the city, and some Italians couldn't make it out. Still only seeing Italia in church. Her English has improved a little, but it would be better if she were in school. Mrs. Evans looks so pale. She must be stressed. We offer to help, but she refuses. When we see her, usually in church, she quickly answers our questions. "We're fine. I don't need anything. Anne, come." "Girls, no talking." Things like that. Italia whispered to me once that Mr. Evans sometimes stays in bed for weeks. She looks exhausted, too. The daughters just scowl. This year is turning out to be as bad as last year, with more bombings, this time in Wales and Portsmouth. I'm relieved one of the Nazis' bombs hasn't hit us yet. I hope they don't. Spring should almost be here. The snow started melting. The bad thing about that is the barnyard becomes a swamp. The chickens fly everywhere, and our clothes become covered in mud and droppings in no time, which means extra laundry. It's a very windy March. The 12th now, and Miss told us that President Roosevelt signed the Lend-Lease Act in America. That means he can send weapons and food to Britain and the other countries helping us. I don't think this war will end anytime soon. England needs all the help it can get. At school, the bullying has stopped. And for now, parents are relieved. Recess is enjoyable again. Mums made Spam sandwiches for dinner tonight. They're very salty and disgusting. I wish she'd make baked Rieskugel for dessert. Oh, wait, that's too kosher for her. Breakfast was toast this morning. It's the 15th, and more English cities have been bombed. Glad we're not living there. Whenever I ask Mom or Dad to post this letter, their answers are, wait for the snow to clear. So sorry for the delay. And calling you is out of the question. That means not allowed. I asked, but Mom said we can't bother anyone. I'll end this letter now. Hope to hear from you soon. Love you always. Leah. Translating is hard, but here's the next part of the song you included in your letter. Of course I remember it, by the way. 'Tis pleasant to sing your praises. There was a copy of the song in my case. March the 26th. Dear Leah, how exciting! I received your letter. Here's mine. I'm so happy to write to you finally. It's spring now, and everyone's working in the garden with less complaining. Whenever we're working with the older girls, I stay away from Anna and Susan, the worst of them all. Some still call me the charity girl when we see each other. One time they threw dirt, but it missed me and hit Lydia instead. Mother didn't see, but she promised to speak to Mother Matthews when we told her. When Mother explained, Mother Matthews replied, Esther must have said something. You know how girls are. I'm not sure if I told you, but Julia, one of the older girls, is pleasant. She asks how we're doing and doesn't laugh at our games. She has younger siblings, too. Are all evacuated children bullied at your school? From what you say, Andrew seems to hate everyone. That letter writing assignment sounds strange to me. Why write to someone who won't read them? I sort of understand why your teacher's making you all write, but still, being a nurse seems dangerous. Maybe Nora and her friend we'll tell you more. We listen to the radio, so we have an idea what the events of this war. One night in January, we were in our nightdresses when we finished Beauty's story. Mary asked if he was real.
No, horses can't talk, Catherine said crossly. You know that.
Why is the book an autobiography then? Mary asked. Mother explained that the author, the woman who wrote it, wanted it told in Beauty's own words. I like the ending. Finally, a nice family for Beauty. Kathleen yawned. What story will you read next? We'll see. I'll have to send for another. Any suggestions? Mother asked. I guess suggestions means to give ideas because everyone called out their favorite stories. Lydia wanted a story about a toad, a mole, and a badger. Hannah wanted one about a girl who falls down a hole. Mama read Leah and I a book of stories. There was a wolf, a little girl with a cape, and lots of witches.
You mean the Grimm fairy tales?
Kathleen's hand accidentally touched my cheek.
I know those.
Everyone else did too.
They're in English?
I asked excitedly. Mother said they certainly were.
You mean they're not English stories?
Hannah made a noise.
No, German, I said proudly. Why don't you know any English stories?
Mary wasn't sitting. She was jumping around the room. Mother grabbed her hand and made her sit. I told them our parents only read German stories. The bell rang, and we slowly fell asleep. It's been a busy first week in April, and still the war continues. The English sank two German ships. That's good news for them, bad for Hitler. The BBC reported bombings in a place called Ireland. In North Africa, Tobruk was captured by the Germans. School is getting harder. Mrs. Blake believes I could learn to play more difficult piano pieces. Braille music was difficult to learn since you can't read and play at the same time. When two of us play together, it's like being with you and Fräulein Goethe again. I like playing with two people, but Lydia can play some pieces one-handed. The trick is to be really fast, she said. Miss Price wants us to recite English cities alphabetically. If we miss any, our hands get smacked with her ruler. Two mistakes, two smacks. Three mistakes, three smacks. Yes, our hands sting. Today was a very rainy day, so our walks were canceled. Our exercise with the older girls and Mother Matthews wanted us to practice ballet. She paired us up. Since the older girls are much taller, many toes were stepped on. I was with Anna. And each time I tried to raise my arm for a position, she knocked into it. On the radio, we heard that the Luftwaffe bombed Belfast, Ireland. Since it's warm, we've been spending more time outside. That's when the skipping ropes appear. It's great learning to turn the rope and skip at the same time. Counting quickly in English is much faster than writing, and it's still fun to sing English rhymes. Hannah taught me Ding Dong Dell, Pussy's in the Well. She knows all the rhymes. It's the 22nd, and Miss Price told us German bombs once again hit Plymouth. I saw William in the garden while writing this letter. He wrote underneath, "You'll appreciate it," he said. John will post it. I'm relieved you have our song. Please don't lose your copy. I can sometimes sing German songs here, but everybody expects me to speak English, just like the people at your house. Our song will always be sung in German. Your sister, Esther. P.S. Let our house of prayer be restored. Restoring means to be new again. Letter in German, May 4. Dear Esther, I can't wait for summer. The BBC reports there are bombings in Scotland. In the Atlantic, a British Navy ship was captured by a German U-boat. Miss Simmons explained that a U-boat is a vehicle that can go underwater, which uses a special light to watch for other ships. We haven't read Black Beauty. Sarah has Aesop's Fables, though. She let me borrow Wind in the Willows. That's the story one of your friends suggested. Please be careful about where you are when you sing those songs. In the music room only is best. If I even said one German word by mistake, I'd never hear the end of it. You have it easier. Please take care. At least you have a friend to talk to you. Speaking of music, I'll be sending you a surprise. Nora's sister described some of her patients in her last letter. Nora explained, many soldiers come to the field hospital with missing limbs. Others are sick in their minds. Shell shock, it's called. They're so distressed. They hide at loud bangs. We were silent. It must be challenging for those women and patients living in those conditions, isolated. I saw Daniel and his mother in town recently. He said Eva might come over, and he also invited me too. I'll see what Mom says. Three guesses. We listened to the radio. Also, it's a school assignment. I write about news I hear on the radio. Thanks to your friend, I don't have to watch what I say in our letters. And yes, seeing your friend's German in your last letter was a surprise. Tell him thank you. His handwriting is perfect and easy to read. He'll be able to read my letters to you. I asked Mom about visiting Daniel, and she refused. Big sigh. I wish I'd learned those rhymes at recess. All we play is tag, hopscotch, marbles, or jump rope. The song's next line is, "There, we will offer you our thanks." All the best, Leah. June 15. Dear Leah, shame about not seeing Daniel. I wouldn't expect your mum to allow you many visits to friends' houses. Summer's almost here. Everyone can't wait to go home. I can't imagine being a nurse. Those are brave women. Like you said, it must be lonely as well. For now, Miss Walters says clothes are being rationed. Now we have extra sewing classes. She's been helping us make our old clothes look almost new. Longer hemlines, mending socks. Mum sews our clothes, Catherine volunteered one day. That's good. All of you will be doing more sewing than you're used to, Miss Walters said. Hannah sighed, and Kathleen groaned. Sewing is a useful skill, so no complaining. Watch those fingers, Amy. Needles can prick if you're not careful, she scolded. Lydia started telling a funny story about her little sister when Miss Walters interrupted. Lydia, your stitches are crooked. Start again. Do I have to undo this whole row? Lydia asked. Most of it. Find where you went wrong. And no talking. We finish silently. Are Catherine and I the only ones here who like sewing? Mama taught both of us how to sew when we were little, remember? In geography, we're still studying English places without looking at the map. Miss Price told us about a road being used to connect Burma with China. I guess for transporting supplies over there. The Japanese want it closed. They're trying to get to India through Burma, she explained. Another thing to share. We're raising rabbits. They're cute. We name them Fluffy and Long Ears and hope they have babies soon. Everyone who lives here returned home for the summer. Catherine was excited when her parents picked her up. They said hello to us, then left. Now, here's some war news I've recently heard. I wonder if you've heard the same thing. It's the 23rd, and yesterday, Mr. Churchill announced that Germany had invaded the Soviet Union. Hitler and the leader of the Soviet Union, Stalin, had an agreement that they wouldn't fight for 10 years. But that's changed since the invasion of Poland. More control for Hitler, I guess. This summer, I'm staying with Mrs. Blake. I've been learning more piano, practicing Braille music, and anything else she wants to teach me. She lives in a small house with a vegetable garden. Every house has one of those, and flower beds. Mr. Blake is in the RAF, the Royal Air Force. He's a pilot. He flies a plane. Mrs. Blake said, I like it here in England very much, but I miss you terribly. Here's more of our song, When You Will Have Slaughtered the Barking Foe. Slaughter means to kill. Barking foe is enemies. Mrs. Blake finished this letter. Don't worry, she didn't ask to read the first part. She'll post this too. I can't wait for your next letter. Love, Esther. July 4. Dear Esther, I loved getting your letter in German. Summer with your piano teacher, how wonderful. Remember, Mama had us practice for 1 hour every day. I miss it so much. Even if we had a piano, I doubt Mom would let me play. Anyway, here's what we did during our first week of summer. I went on a picnic with Sarah, Jane, and some other friends. The woods were a welcome relief after the stifling attic. We're so relieved we don't have air raids anymore. We stayed through the evening. Atalia came, though how Sarah convinced Mrs. Evans to let her, I don't know. Her girls stayed home. Atalia didn't say much, but I was glad she could come. We ran races and swam in the stream. Atalia is a good swimmer, but she and Laron kept bumping into each other. Daniel, Helen, and Eva skipped rocks. Eva's went the furthest. It was the most fun we had in a long time. Walking home, Helen, Sarah, Jane, Eva, and I began singing. There was a breeze finally. Jane and Sarah ran ahead. In the middle of a verse, a figure leaped down from a tree, showering leaves on our heads. Shrieking, we dropped to the ground. Got you! The boy laughed and fled. We scrambled to our feet, Helen and I shaking our fists. Andrew again! Helen grabbed Eva's hand and ran off. I found Sarah and Jane by a tree. Because of our adventure, we returned quite late. I thought we wouldn't be scolded. What kept you girls? Dad demanded. I had to do all your chores. Eva, Helen, and I were frightened by a boy. Nothing too serious. Leaves were dropped on us. Is Helen all right? Mom looked concerned. When I replied that she was, Mom smiled with relief. I've always liked her. Now to bed, all of you. How can Esther read your letters? Sarah asked the next day. Someone reads them to her, and when she writes in small dots called Braille, and then someone prints the words underneath so I can read them. When Sarah felt the dots, she giggled because they tickled her fingers. She asked if I could teach her, and I said, unfortunately, no. I heard something about the Burma Road as well. It was reported the road will be closed. For how long, nobody knows. Dad finally hired two land girls to help on the farm. We grow extra crops and now have a couple more cows. The land girls live with us, so Jane and Sarah have to share a room and a bed. They do more squabbling now, but Dad told them to get used to it as the girls are staying. Their names are Louisa and Martha, and they are friends from a city that has fortunately not been destroyed by Nazis. They missed their cinema, they said. The last film they saw was Goodbye, Mr. Chips, 3 years ago. For some reason, they think our cinema is boring. Lately, we all get up earlier than usual, sometimes working until after dark. They've taken to farm life. Martha likes the garden, and Louisa milks the cows. Jane, Sarah, and I plant and do inside chores like always. They don't talk much. Perhaps they're homesick. They don't have to attend church, but they come anyway. The poor Soviet Union. The Nazis are spread all over that country. In Ukraine, cities are being captured quickly. I guess they didn't see it coming. It's raining up here today, but it's still daylight. Jane and Sarah were allowed to go to the cinema. This time, they saw a funny film about a ghost haunting a school. In the film, everyone hears bagpipes, and the new teacher has to figure out the mystery. Sarah told me about it while we sat on the stairs. I was stuck in the house all day, in the kitchen, baking. It was miserable, not even an open window. When Sarah and Jane returned, Mum's friends had arrived. They were sewing as usual. Mum met them at the door. "Leah, go to the barn. Girls, to me," Mum said to Sarah and Jane. I'll admit I was green with envy when they skipped off to the cool parlor. I spent the afternoon helping Louisa, Martha, and Dad muck out stalls and doing other disgusting barn chores. Mum brought sandwiches to us. "Jam today," she said, handing each of us our sandwich. I thought that was strange. We ate quickly, the bacon crumbling into dust in my mouth. "Jam? Liar, that wasn't jam in my sandwich." Meanwhile, the 29th, and in Ukraine, cities are still falling. There was a 4-day battle. Germany won. Miserable in my attic, but there's nowhere else to write without slipping outside. Mum is bottling with Sarah and Jane and the land girls. Louise is calling me. Big sigh. Same day at sunset. I went down to hear Mum say, "Girl, wash your hands. Start labeling." Labeling and carrying jars to the cellar all afternoon. At least it was cool down there. When I looked up, the sun was about to set. I can see the sun go down above the treetops from my attic. The air becomes colder, but you already know that. My window will only open a little. Just enough for a breeze. I wish we raised rabbits like you. They're sweeter and cuddlier than cows. They don't hop or do much of anything, just chew their hay. Our song's next line is, "We will celebrate the song and psalm, the altar's dedication." Your exhausted sister. August the 10th. Dear Leah, well, these first couple of weeks have been busy. On the 8th, we heard some news. In the battle between the Soviets and the Germans, the Soviets continued to be beaten by the Germans. One evening, Mary and I were walking by the flower beds again. My parents took me to a restaurant over the summer for my birthday. Where? How does rationing work? Certain foods cost more, and you still have to pay. What did you have? We turned, walking between two flower beds. As she told me, I thought about how people could still be happy, even in the middle of a war. Miss Esther and Mary, come here. William and John were standing at the end of the bed we were walking beside. Using my hand, I trailed along until I reached them. I stumbled over a loose rock, but that was it. They showed us some new flowers just poking up through the ground. All we could feel were little points. John said they were bulbs. It's the 15th. In geography, we discussed a speech Mr. Churchill gave last night. He and the American President Roosevelt discussed a joint declaration that would give people the right to have their own governments without fear and be allowed to keep trading with other countries. Finally, peace after war. The U.S. still won't enter this war, she said. They send goods to us, but so far Roosevelt won't send any armies. They haven't been bombed either, Kathleen added. No, they've been fortunate. She sighed. I thought she seemed angry about something. In music, Mrs. Blake is teaching us longer pieces. I still play by ear because Braille music is challenging to read while playing. Today was a miserable day. Churchill was on the radio speaking of the Nazis murdering the Soviet people. He spoke about, quote, scores of thousands of people being executed in cold blood, whole districts being murdered, end quote. I ran out of the dormitory crying, but not before I heard him say something like, a crime without a name. Lydia called after me. Esther, wait! I ignored her. I ran into William in the hall outside our dormitories. When I explained, he said, I didn't hear that one, but I can imagine it's true. I'm sorry you had to hear it. How much more killing will be done? I sniffed. Rubbing my back, he said he didn't know. When I returned, I apologized to Mother for leaving. No, you were upset. I should have turned it off when the speech became unpleasant. It was a horrible speech, Julia. Just awful. Julia and I were taking our usual walk the next evening. People being murdered. Not pleasant. You're right about that. The way this war's going, more murders will follow. I agree. I believe those Germans won't give up until they have control everywhere. Not sure if you know, but we're not sure where our parents are. Yes, I know. The others keep reminding you. We continued walking, listening to the chirping birds. It was still hot. We longed for a breeze. Something more cheerful. Thank you for the song. William can help me translate now. Here's the next line. My soul was sated with misery. My strength was spent with grief. Sated means having more than enough, I think. Let's do a bit every other month or so. That way it'll last longer. Your sister, Esther.